5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we are joined in studio by professional nerd, Dr. Jerry Jaffe.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Diablo.
What's going on?
Nothing. This is going on.
All right.
It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon here in Cleveland, Ohio.
This is life as we live it.
Yeah.
So unlike our previous doctor, Jerry actually has a doctorate that he worked for.
Oh, so obviously you're talking about quote unquote Dr. Andy Meredith.
That would be the
fuck
one.
Fuck that guy. I didn't know I could talk to how much I hate Andy Meredith. No, I love Andy Meredith. He's
I mean, you could.
You could, but I love him
every
too.
Every time we do a show together, he's like, I'm the other doctor. I'm like, fuck you.
He's like, let's take a quiz.
Not only is Jerry a doctor, he also administers the only, as far as I'm aware, the only undergraduate program in stand-up comedy in Ohio.
That's right. Yep. There's only four or five around the entire country, and we have the only one in Ohio.
Nice.
Yep.
So you will be learning from somebody that has his own one-man show that is going on tour starting this spring. So be on the lookout. But that's not why we're here. I'm not here to kiss your ass. I feel that I must.
There's not much of it to kiss.
That is true. When we're comparing asses, it'd take like 8 Jerry Jaffes to get one El Jordano Diablo cheek.
And 12 to get you.
Oh, that's just...
I didn't know there was going to be math on this test. Okay? Back up.
Not a doctorate in math.
No. So Jerry, why do you hate creationists?
Makes things go backwards, and I don't mind. Obviously, it's a free country. You can believe whatever you want, but when you're in the public sphere, including I teach at a college, it makes the conversation go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to discuss any topic, and then some, let's say, well-meaning or sincere, despite the fact that I hate them, I'll give them the best intentions, maybe. They just makes things go backwards. Now you have to stop what you're talking about and deal with their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the classroom or that's in Congress. I'm not here to do material, but I will say one thing. Mm-hmm. I consider religion to be like cigarettes. I don't care what you do in your own house, but do not infect me with your secondhand dogma.
Fair enough.
I mean, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. So like it's, you know, it was indoctrinated in
sure.
me. And when I get into arguments or discussions even, because I try not to argue, but like with my mom,
right?
My biggest thing is, as far as creationists go or religion in general, you cannot argue logic with faith and vice versa because even though logic and science can beat faith and do beat it on every level, you can't change their mind.
Yeah, so if you're discussing faith or personal belief, that is their deal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about creationism, they have stumbled into the realm of science.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about evidence, facts, logic, and They have none of that.
Like the people who believe that the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
Yep.
I'm just like, but there's proof that it is much older than that.
Right.
For some reason, creationism was taught in my school.
Holy moly macaroni.
Yeah. But the attitude the teacher had wasn't that this is an alternative belief system that's acceptable. Okay. It was more like, when you encounter these people, this is what they're going to come at you with. And
okay.
So in that,
kind of like Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Right.
Right. It was, if that wasn't the attitude that was given, it was definitely implicit, because I'm pretty certain they didn't want to do it. But it's...
So it was taught, but it was, in your case, it was taught as like, here's why this is wrong.
Right. It wasn't... It was less... Looking back on it now, they weren't like, this is how you disprove this. It's just like when someone comes at you and says that the fossil record isn't real because carbon dating is not an exact science.
Right.
You know, that's their motivation.
Right.
And then the bubble of water that surrounds the Earth, that's response. Like,
well, that's the example, like the creationist mentality is that in the debate they're tearing you down. They're not bringing evidence. They're not bringing logic. So that's part of what I mean by it goes backwards. Like, they're attacking the fossil record, but they're not replacing it with any new information. They're just – it's in a negative position.
Yeah.
So it only exists as something that can be clung on to because, you know, it can attack what's already been established. There's no – yeah, okay.
I mean, it puts – if it puts you at peace – like, if that's what gives you purpose or whatever, great. Like you said, don't infect me with your fucking bullshit. Like, that's fine. If that's what you – don't talk to me about it.
Right.
Like, and I will say that as politely as I can until you start shoving it down my throat, and then I'm going to turn into an asshole.
Right. Yeah. The there was a survey done in the early 2000s of Congress, and it was done anonymously, so they didn't have to put their name on it, and it was a religious beliefs survey, and there's – Congress, representatives and senators, there's about 600 to use a round number. Only about a third took it. But that's a pretty big sample size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of the third who took it, a third privately admitted to being atheists. Then when asked, just as a volunteer, would you put your name on this? Only one person who admitted to being an atheist would put their name on it. So one third of Congress, at least, are secret atheists who are afraid to say what they really believe.
Yeah.
That's wow.
One nation under God, dog.
Yeah.
it really does cost you votes.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. I mean, like I think it's over 70% of Great Britain is atheist.
Right.
Yep. Which is, I mean.
Well, in the 2000s, the number of Americans on surveys is Pew. I'm a college professor. I got all this shit rolling around in my head. Pew Research. Number of Americans who will admit they're an atheist has doubled.
Yeah.
And then the number who will say, like, not affiliated has skyrocketed. So this is, again, round numbers, but about a third to a half, it's in that range, of Americans right now are not interested in religion.
Yeah, and that means a generation is dying. Right. So, bye.
Yeah.
Well, that's the secret power of organized religion, is brainwashing children.
Yup. 100%.
Give me the child and I'll give you the man.
Yeah. It's which when things happen where public funds are being moved into parochial schools, it scares me.
Well, that goes back to why another thing I hate about creationism. There's a journalistic study. Some journalists in Florida did a big review of their charter school system.
Mm-hmm.
And over $1 billion of Florida taxpayer money goes to charter schools. That's a B with a billion for all the Carl Sagan fans. And not every one, but a large subsection of those religious schools teach creationism. So now we got millions and millions of citizen taxpayer money subsidizing. Again, don't even mention the religious side, like it's going to religious schools. That's already a problem.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's teaching just total backwards bullshit about science.
And that's Florida for you.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, Florida. Yep.
Yeah, but yes. I mean, we still have that problem here in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. It's just, Florida's just talk about it, ass backwards fucking state. That's number one.
Well,
probably.
Ohio's turning into the Florida of the North, if you ask me. Yeah. We had some alligators and some more psychics, and we're just basically North Florida.
The Bible Belt, Florida.
Yeah, well, we our Walmarts are definitely like, they could be Florida embassies.
Do you suffer a lot of creationists in classes?
Not a lot, but sometimes. And I teach liberal arts classes, theater, philosophy, logic type classes. I don't teach science classes. I understand evolution well enough to explain it and to answer 99% of questions that an undergraduate is likely to ask me. So we'll be talking about some philosophical or history of science type question or whatever. And then one or two people will want to say, yeah, but where's all the half-neck giraffes? So now I got to fucking stop a class. We're in the middle of discussing, first of all, not that, but also whatever, philosophy, science, and explain for like 10 minutes that person doesn't understand what a giraffe is to ask that question. Like, we got to go backwards so many steps. So that... and again, as an educator, I welcome all questions. Maybe I should welcome the opportunity to try to explain. In fact, similar to what you were saying, Jeremy, probably that young student's mind is not going to be changed because I explained to them what a giraffe is. But the rest of the class will understand, oh, yeah, that's bullshit. Like, yeah.
So you can get, you know, the majority on your side and, you know, that's a win.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just I hope that we're moving towards a society where it's no longer okay to just believe complete falsehoods. Because it's not necessarily a faith thing with creationism that bothers me the most. It's just complete and utter nonsense.
Yeah, it's the repeating of, like, fake facts, things that simply aren't true. I saw I've published a paper on satire around creationists. And so I went to the Creation Museum in Cincinnati. It's actually technically in Kentucky, but it's like Cincinnati, if you've ever been there, kind of like the southern part of it spreads into Kentucky.
Yeah.
So I'm from Kentucky originally. So I say that museum's in Cincinnati because fuck them building their museum in my state. But anyway, I've been down to the Creation Museum.
I think Cornette would probably agree with that as well.
And there's just so much, like, non-science. You walk in, the first thing you see is a huge diorama that first gallery cost over $1 million to build, and they brought in the special effects guys that worked on the first Jurassic Park movie to build that. And it shows children playing with raptors, like, just in the Garden of Eden, like, just frolicking playfully.
Oh, God.
Indeed. So, I mean, how many, like, known unfacts, like, are in that one image? And it goes through, I mean, trust me, if you get me started on this Creation Museum, that'll be the rest of the hour. But I'll just give an example. There's like a plaque explaining how you can use the saline content of the oceans to prove the Earth is only 6,000 years old. And so I said, as a skeptical person, I looked at that and went, that can't be right. And so 5 minutes of research shows that about 150 years ago, there were some geologists in the 1800s who wondered if you could use the saline content to prove the age of the Earth, and also found out you couldn't. Like, this question was studied in the 1800s. We're in the 2000s now, in the 1800s, and here it is on a plaque in a quote-unquote museum.
I was going to say, museum is a very fucking gentle term to use for that bullshit.
I call it a theme park.
Yeah.
And, you know, you will remember that Trump University, which has totally been utterly debunked, and we're not here to say how much we hate Trump because we could do that for an hour.
Yeah.
But he was told to stop calling that business a university. Like, you cannot just put the word university on things. There's actually, like, government standards to use the word university for your business. They should have the same guidelines for a museum.
Agreed.
Like, you should not just be able to call any bullshit thing you open up in your basement a museum.
Although, if you can.
Yes.
I think we're missing out on revenue stream here.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, you have enough useless nonsense that we could make a museum.
Yeah, 100%. But I would never, dare call it a museum unless somebody was like,
"Well,
you write you a check."
You would have largely correct factual information in your collection.
That's very, very true. Yeah, 100%.
But if you actually wanted this to be a revenue stream, you should fill it up with bullshit, of course. Like, you would sell more tickets. You know.
Yeah. You can just have, complete lies about all of the wrestlers that
I'll buy a 2x4 and be like, this was Hacksaw's.
Oh. Yeah. There you go. Perfect.
See, I can do it.
Oh,
I was raised. I was raised around a religion, so I can, you know, I know how to push bullshit. It was pushed on me for so long.
Do you know what cargo cults are?
Yes. It's one of my favorite things.
Go on.
So when I'm teaching philosophy classes, and we do discuss religion, and then I will say very early that, hey, some of you here might have your religious beliefs, and I respect that, but please realize that anthropologists estimate – this is, again, round numbers. It's just a podcast, so fuck off. About 10,000 religions in the world today. You go all over the world, every country, every language. And
they're all right.
And that's today. Mm-hmm. Over a million have been documented since the dawn of man.
Wow.
And it depends how you count and God. So fuck that. So then I give them an example. Like, do you realize that there are very small isolated communities on Pacific islands that people wanted to help? So what they started doing, Jeremy, if you remember, jump in, was like the 50s or the 70s, like in that time frame, or in the early 1900s?
It was around World War II.
Sure.
Was when they started, because they were stationed there.
Right.
Waiting for the next battle, and then they realized, oh, these people have nothing.
So they would fly over in planes and drop like care packages.
Okay.
Just like parachute them down. So the people on these islands, just suddenly like these giant metal birds start flying over their island, dropping manna from heaven. And it happened on like a schedule, like once a month. So it started like they could measure it all and predict it. And these whole little religions popped up based on the worship of the sky bird that's going to drop these treasures from heaven.
It just goes to show you how stupid people are.
It gets better because not only are they, it's not like a bunch of people like making an effigy of a plane or something. They're actually trying to imitate the soldiers that were on the island because the cargo planes aren't coming anymore.
Right.
Like, you know, the military is done in that area.
Yeah.
So, but they still like, you know, they were so used to the cargo coming. So they're trying to imitate like people bringing in the cargo loaders and being they built little air traffic control towers. It's amazing.
And if you compare to like thousands of years ago, if like Zeus causes lightning, there is like a very like poor but real argument to be made that it's kind of smart. Like, of course, it's fucking stupid. But on the other hand, they're like seeing like their world has changed. What's this big metal bird? Things are falling. And they're trying to figure it out.
Sure.
So they were able to figure some things out. These men in uniform were part of it. It happened on a certain, like every 30 days. So they're like figuring things out. But it's, you know, it's like the blind man with the tail of an elephant thinking they have a snake.
Yeah.
Right.
I said before, it just goes to show how stupid people like are. Like, and
well, the single greatest joke in the history of all of stand-up comedy, and if I am butchering it, my apologies to the spirit and ghost of George Carlin, but, you know, half of all people have a below-average IQ.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it's going to be. Like, that's an unavoidable fact of life.
It's like, okay, a primitive culture like that, mm-hmm. like, okay, you know, anybody can get a pass, but, like,
But imagine if you were like a school superintendent in rural Ohio and some Pacific Islander popped up in your office and said, I want you to teach the creation myth of the sky bird. Like, that's what we believe the world came from. So, like, one of the immediate jabs when people want to teach creationism in a public school is, okay, which creationism? You went to Japanese Shinto creationism? You went to Shiva and the all-destroying gods? Is it Norse, et cetera? Like, there's 3,000 creation myths.
Yeah, you know. But the argument is that the United States is a Christian nation. And
sigh. Everyone in the room just sighed, by the way, people at home.
It's just still unfortunate that, like, we're still there. I mean, it seems like it's going to change.
But you had a victory as a Satanist where they were able to put the Satanist Ten Commandments outside a courtroom, right? That just happened.
Which is fine. And that's like, that's the other thing is like when, you know,
zombie nativity scenes going up all over the country, that's a win for Satanists.
when people like try to poke holes in that and they're like, oh, you worship the devil? It's like, no. Do you know who Anton LaVey was? Have you read anything about Satanism? No, yes. You haven't. So shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah, if you added some eyeliner, you'd look like him, actually.
Oh, that's, yeah. The comparisons have been there many, especially like when I have just the goatee.
Oh, sure.
It's just like, yeah. You know.
Devin Newsom is a Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis Jr. was HIV positive. instead of a glass eye, he's got HIV. But he can dance.
He can. Never mind. I'm not going to stop there. but I just, like when we all sighed, is like, what? This is not, it's not, just because it says one nation under God. It's
you must know where all of the stone Ten Commandments outside of courtrooms came from.
What, you mean like the stone tablets on the, like when Moses came down from the...
No, I mean like literally there's a history to why courthouses across this country have some of them, but many of them do.
What is it?
A Ten Commandments like outside, because when Cecil B. DeMille made the Ten Commandments... He thought it would be a great publicity stunt to donate Ten Commandment statues to courtrooms all across the country. Until he did that, that was not a common feature of the American judicial system. And first of all, if anyone doesn't believe me, fuck you. Let the hate flow through you. But secondly, just fucking Google it. This is a documented part of film history.
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
It's amazing what people will cling to as part of their heritage. You know, the Confederate... war memorial statues or another thing.
Yes, that went up afterwards to to reinforce white supremacist ideas.
As I say, some people always get a pass, and Michael Hayes gets a pass when he painted his face like a flag when they faced the Road Warriors. They didn't give a reason for doing it. The reason was they were in Chicago and they were facing the Road Warriors. So it's okay.
It's different when you're being a bad guy.
Yeah. You're supposed to be a bad
guy. Generating heat in the wrestling ring is not the same.
I disagree. I try to generate heat my entire life. And not just physical heat. Shut your mouth.
You do generate a lot of physical heat. I will tell you that Jordan blows up quite often.
Oh, well, he's got the best boobs I've been around in a while, that's for sure.
That's just because Jeremy got his reduced.
I did, and thank goodness for that.
As we've covered many times on the
Jordan
show.
Still has his pregnancy weight, that's why.
Yeah, the best
preparing
was...
Preparing to suckle a baby.
There's a guy that I work with who's way bigger than me. Doesn't think he is. That's always there my favorite. And I was talking to my manager the one time, and I was like, yeah, Danny looks like he's pregnant. And he was like, no, you look like you're pregnant. He's just fat. I was like, I think that's a compliment on my side.
So wait a minute. You and Chelsea are getting married because you're pregnant?
Yes. She knocked me up.
Breaking news right here, folks.
Chelsea knocked me up.
So it's just so Chelsea's name can get on the birth certificate.
And I can't get an abortion because I believe in God.
Get an abortion when it's impossible.
Don't worry. There's a formula for abortion tea in the Bible, so...
Shit. What is it called? I know that.
There's an old herbal, like, before there were, like, doctors, but it said it was midwives.
Yeah.
They had, like, a tea that you could make that goes back to Roman times that would induce, effectively, abortions or miscarriages.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah.
They just didn't call it abortion.
Yes.
It was okay back then.
Yeah. Yes, it was here, drink this. Like, drink this, shuns.
Yeah, they didn't invent the word abortion yet. That was...
Yeah, no, I get that.
It's basically like, it's just, you know, it's time for a rebranding.
What's that recipe again?
I'll put the chapter and verse in the link to this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but it's... honestly, that's kind of what creationism did. was it rebranded.
Mm-hmm.
It changed from, you know, basically biblical doctrine to creation theory to Christian Science.
And they moved ahead another step to call it intelligent design.
Oh, that
old
thing.
So
if you hear the phrase intelligent design, it's actually in the famous court case in Pennsylvania, is like a documented court fact that it was just rebranding. Mm-hmm. Because there was a creationist textbook that they were pushing, and they were able to show in court that the editors just took that old book from a generation earlier and cut and paste intelligent design wherever it said creationism, and thus just like 100% demonstrating in a court of law
that it was just
rebranding.
If this is the land of the free and everybody can believe what they want to believe,
sure,
which I'm all for that, then all schools and all public house should be non-secular.
Right. Yep.
And I don't understand how we can't all agree on that. Like, right, if we're all allowed to believe what we want to believe, then nothing of the sort should be taught in schools.
Which another irony there is, like you mentioned, England having a much higher rate of atheism. Most Western-style democracies have a higher rate of atheism. And that's even say whether or not that's good or bad, but it is what it is. One of the reasons why religion continues to flourish in the United States is because of the First Amendment. Because of the separation of church and state and freedom of speech, people can follow any worshiping traditions they want. And that actually is like the fertile ground that allows religions to flourish. And so the exact thing of like religious people that want their religion taught in school or want to say this is a Christian nation, that would lead to more atheism. Mm-hmm. Because now if you just have like the church, the state religion, and atheism, those are your two choices, people say, fuck off state religion.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure. I don't – it's funny because like I recently got on Reddit. That never dawned on me. I've been out like – I honestly can say like I remember from a young age, mm-hmm, like being like, ah, this is kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But I pretended for a long
Reddit
time.
Reddit or religion?
No, religion. I'll get back to Reddit. Well, that's also bullshit.
Right,
but
I'm
at
wondering.
The same time, from a young age, I remember being like, ah, this is, I don't know about this. But I pretended for a long time. And then finally, like when me and my girlfriend at the time broke up, I had no reason to belong to this anymore.
Sure.
And like I had been checked out. So it never dawned on me. So I've been out about 14 years, mentally way longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got on Reddit and there's a whole subreddit of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses who talk about their experiences and
interesting
stuff. And I was on it last weekend for hours, just like, right, oh my God, yeah, this is, you know. And it was funny because somebody was like, oh, you know, what did you used to do to pass the time at the Kingdom Hall? And it was like, so many people were like, count the tiles, count the people. And I was like, that was me. And it's just because
I can't believe, you know, if there is a God, I can't believe he fucking wants people to waste their time counting tiles. Like, he gave you, this supposed God, the gift of life. Go fucking do something.
And the brain.
Go outside.
Well, I mean, that's it. Like you said, George Carlin, like the whole, like one of the things that changed my entire perspective is that whole bit from You Are All Diseased when he talks about God and how he prays to Joe Pesci and all that whole thing. Like that was all very eye opening to me.
Well, he has a routine on one of his last HBO specials about if there is a heaven, if you believe this nonsense, then most of your grandparents are in hell.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you say they're up? Your grandparents are up there looking down on you right now? They're down there looking up at you right now. And he goes, and especially grandfathers. All grandfathers are in hell, that's for sure.
I'm, Nan, if we don't have an all-loving God, then definitely.
Yeah, we're fucked. Either way. Hey, did you know, and I didn't do any fact-checking, so I can't remember the name of this. There's a book a few years ago that was written by a very ill boy. He's actually recovered and is a young adult now. And it's called something like The Boy Who Saw Heaven.
Ring a bell, actually.
While he was in the hospital, his parents, they spent a lot of time with him. His parents were religious, and they did a lot of praying. So the boy started telling him, the parents, that when he was like out, he was going to heaven, and he started describing it. And the parents wrote down everything he said for like months. Mm. Then this book got published and it got made into a movie. And now that boy has gone on the record as saying he was just making all that up to make his parents feel better.
Oh, that's awesome.
That like, their parents were obviously anxious about his health. And whenever he talked about being in heaven, they like felt better.
That's so fucked up.
Yes.
That is so fucked up. That is so. Oh, my. Dude. All right. It's, so
the book is called Heaven is for Real. A Little Boy's Astounding Story of His Trip to Heaven and Back by Todd Burpo.
Heaven is for our words.
It earned $101 million at the box office.
That was the movie that came out with the fat mom and it came out like in this, I think, the second half of 2019.
I don't know if you can see doing your research there. All of our research here is done by Jeremy.
Yeah, it was done in 2014.
Confirm there what I said about the boy himself, like, disavowed it. I think he disavowed it after the film came out. Like, that was, like, the last straw. He's a little older, so he's more confident to speak up. I can't remember exactly.
Smarter. Yes. His brain grew.
But, yeah, you know, with $100 million, he could have also just kept his mouth shut, but.
Yeah. I mean.
It's, let me see. It's,
can you click on his name?
Maybe it's on his Wikipedia. It's basically, the kid's name is Colton Burpo.
Okay.
And, the disavowing, was not done by Colton Burpo. It's this guy, Alex Malarkey, came out in 2015, and he said he publicly disavowed it. The near-death experience was fictional. Colton Burpo said that while he acknowledged that some among the public had doubts about his account, he stood by Heaven is for Real contents.
Okay, so he's not smart.
No. Not as smart as I thought. I seem to remember seeing an article in the paper at the time about disavowing, but maybe it was...
But that doesn't take away from calling him out. That doesn't take away from the fact that it's fucked up that his parents felt better when they thought about him in heaven.
Here's the stupidest religious joke I ever wrote. You know the joke when you were a kid, or did you ever hear this? This is like a Bazooka Joe type of joke. I had a dream that I was eating a giant marshmallow, and when I woke up, my pillow was gone. That's just an old kid's joke.
Yeah.
Okay. So my joke is, I had a dream that I was eating a giant pillow, and when I woke up, my belief in God was gone.
So this, basically Alex Malarkey was another guy.
Another case. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
And he was like...
So Alex Malarkey is the kid who was telling his parents these comforting stories and then came out later.
Yes.
Okay, and then... The film you mentioned was based on another boy's accounts.
Yeah.
And that boy is standing by it.
Yeah. Colton Burpo is the one that's standing by it. Alex Malarkey is not.
Yeah.
So that's basically what happened.
Now that there's two of them, their stories have kind of merged or overlapped a little bit.
Yeah. It's hard to tell idiots apart sometimes.
Well,
Malarkey is slang for bullshit.
What kind of inbred cretin do you have to be in the 21st century to not believe in evolution? Which is ironic because inbred cretinism is itself proof of evolution.
Yeah, no, agreed 100%.
I've now worked three jokes from my one-man show into this podcast.
Well, you're selling it. yes. I get it.
Mad Labs, Columbus, March 8th.
Plug it all.
Yeah, this will be up by then. Because it'll be up tomorrow. Yeah, it's scary that evolution has to be like listed as a belief instead of just, you know.
Well, Richard Dawkins said something which he's sort of bulldogish,
right.
One of the new atheists. I love him, I have to say. And he was being interviewed, might have even been on Fox, because he would have gone on O'Reilly a couple times. But anyway, I saw him being interviewed. And the person came at him with the phrase, oh, evolution is just a theory. And he said, just stop. It's a fact. You're using the word theory wrong. We know enough about evolution. We can just use the word fact for evolution.
Yeah.
And that was a kind of pushback from creationists, the old it's just a theory.
Yeah.
And so you've probably heard that. But
so is your bullshit.
Well, that's what they're trying to say, though. Like, it's two theories. So our bullshit and your bullshit. But actually,
there's science behind one.
I was looking on some websites of Christian apologists, including the guy who runs the Creation Museum down in Cincinnati. His name's Ken Ham. And a new thing just in the past couple of years is those people, the creationists, are advising, like, their flock to stop saying it's just a theory because – it's been pushed back by scientists. Like, you're misusing the word. You're misusing the word. So they're actually bailing on the it's just a theory argument because it's such a bad argument. Like, they've realized themselves that they should stop saying it.
Mm. Yeah, it's, man, Ken Ham is a character, and
I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it seems, I don't know if you saw that Bill Nye
debate.
The debate. There's a documentary that came out after the debate, and one of the things it explored, which is the most disturbing part of the documentary, honestly, other, you know, there's the whole thing about how, you know, it tries to explore the idea that Bill Nye is a bit of an egomaniac, which of course he is.
Yeah. Who the fuck cares?
That's irrelevant.
Doesn't make him
You're
wrong.
Not in show business for 50 years without being an egomaniac.
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of like you have to be in order to do like the things you have to do to get on TV. Right. It's just what it is. But one of the side effects of the Ken Ham debate was that it not only emboldened his supporters, but it, like, because it got put out into the world, he attracted new supporters.
Right. As most of your Richard Dawkins of the world will not debate creationists anymore because it puts them on an equal footing platform. Like, why become a megaphone for their nonsense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bill Nye was worried that, or not worried, he was advised that that might happen. But he tried to take the more like, well, it's a chance for me to talk to children. It's a chance for me to talk. And if I change one of his supporters' minds, it might be worth it. And then he also wrote, he did not write, Bill Nye has a book on evolution, by the way, as well, that came out after that. He opens that debate, his opening remarks. He holds up a smoke detector and says there's a element that's used, a type of rock, I don't know what it is, that's in the most modern smoke detectors, that rock takes like a million years to form. And so he says, if you have this smoke detector in your house protecting your children right now, you cannot be a creationist.
That's pretty awesome. Yes. I like that.
Yeah. It's fun to have the argument sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
I just feel like it's beating your head against the wall.
Yeah.
Like, you can't... Like I said before, you can't argue... Because, I mean... Creationism is like it's based in faith. It's not based in fact.
Right.
And you cannot argue faith and fact. It's like I said, you're just going to be beating your head against the wall. That's why, like, anytime I have a conversation with my mother, I get just tired out. I'm like, because we're just going around in circles.
Well, my parents are both believers. My mother's no longer with us. We almost never discuss religion at home. And for starters, I don't bring it up. So to me, it's like a... it's almost like a false meme to talk about, like, militant atheists want to argue all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I walk around all day not thinking about religion.
Yes.
It's like not a thing. I'm not thinking about fairies. I'm not thinking about Zeus. I'm not thinking about the great cargo bird. I'm just like going to Starbucks and teaching my classes and trying to write new jokes. It's not a thing that I think about. It's 99% of the time a religious person is going to bring up something first, and then I have to decide if I'm even going to respond to it. Like, yeah. I don't have the energy for your nonsense right now.
Yeah.
I wish you well. You know, my sister-in-law said, though, we got to take our kids to my family is all Jewish. They take their kids to like a Jewish Sunday shul. Oh, I said, oh, yeah, why? You know, just friendly sister-in-law family. Oh, what are you? Yeah, you're going. That's okay. He goes, yeah, I got to take them. That's how they're going to learn about morality. And I'm like, hey, I'm out. Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, that's my mom.
I'm not going to get into a big argument with my sister-in-law about whether or not going to Sunday school is going to teach morality to her children.
Well, that's a big thing with my mom.
Not, but no.
She's like, well, where do you think you got your morals from? I'm like, I think people inherently know what's right and what's wrong.
Also, like, you know, I say, heaven might be real, might not be real. It's not. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt that it might be. Prison is real. So yeah. People are in prison, so they didn't figure it out for themselves or they got caught up in something. But there's actually like laws and etiquette and things that you learn as a child that have certainly nothing directly to do with religion, as well as things like empathy, which are explained by evolution. Like, it's to our benefit to worry about other people.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, like, as far as like
most people in prison are religious. The majority of inmates... Well, in religion.
That's why AA is able to work in prison.
There was a police strike, I want to say, somewhere in Canada. So a few years ago, maybe 10 or 20 years ago, Montreal, it doesn't matter. So there was a police strike. There was rioting. Okay, like people were just like breaking windows, stealing radio, whatever the fuck you do in a riot. I've never been in one. But if Catholic priests went on strike, there would not be a riot, right? No one is going to riot because, oh, we don't have enough churches in this neighborhood. Fuck, now's our time. Let's get that radio.
I mean, I'm thinking that we should test that theory. Because with good science, you must experiment.
Yes.
How do we get the priests to go on strike?
Yeah, they're too well paid right now.
I mean,
we take all the children under 18 out of churches.
Yes, that's one way to do it. You know, now you have no flock to tend to.
Yeah, well, here in Cleveland, a couple of the smaller, like, Catholic churches shut down and combined because there were not enough attendees.
Jehovah's Witnesses are doing that a lot right now. There's a Kingdom Hall down the street from me that is up for sale.
There's one in Painesville as well, and I was curious, and it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, how valuable do you think this fucking square box building on a corner lot is?
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing about like the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Halls, all that time and the only thing they spend money on is the materials. Okay. Because they get skilled workers who are in the religion to do all the work.
Oh, sure.
That is, like, I remember it as a child. Like, my grandfather was a floor layer.
Okay.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. Like, going to, you know, put the floors in Kingdom Halls. And it's like, you ain't getting paid. You're taking up your Saturday and Sunday. Fuck that.
Well, man. Don't worry. He's in heaven now, looking down on you.
At the very least,
he's an asshole.
I can guarantee Jews don't do that. No. No, everybody gets paid.
That's smart. Yeah. That's smart. I can get behind that. I like money.
You know, whenever there's a, quick digression to make a quick point. A couple of years ago, I bought a house. There was a house I wanted before that I put in an offer. They had an asking price, like 116. I offered 112. Mm-hmm. They came back 122. What? My wife and I even said, we'll go 116, but let's put in 112. They came back 122. So there's this kind of common stereotype about Jews, business, parsimony, whatever. And there's a very disgusting phrase, which I apologize to people. I'm just trying to make a social point of he Jewed me out of money. He Jewed me out of it. He Jewed me out of it. But in that insult is this idea that Jews are good at business.
Yeah.
I want to say that guy like Christianed himself out of a sale. I want bad business practices to be called, oh, he Christianed himself out of that. He totally Christianed that sale.
Well,
you know?
I mean, you know what else you can liken that to is like the cake place in fucking Jersey that wouldn't make the cake for the gay couple.
Well, that was in Colorado.
I thought that was in Jersey.
It was in Colorado.
The famous one that went to the Supreme Court was in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. I thought that happened.
The Colorado wasps are out of control.
Yes.
So it's they're being.
Is that why their airport's so fucking creepy?
That's one of the reasons.
The other reason is Mormons.
The Mormons are out there to.
Yeah. Oh wait, that's the Salt Lake City airport, the one with like the missiles or whatever,
and the lounges. You can't drink, but unless you go into one of the private clubs in Salt Lake City Airport.
Yeah, it's a little, but there are a ton of Mormons in Colorado, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Wherever white Anglo-Saxon Protestants are allowed to thrive, you will find Mormons.
Yeah, but to your point, a cake shop is a business of accommodation, is what they call it. So if they would just sell the cake, they would make the money on the sale.
Yeah.
But then instead, you know, they wasp themselves out of a sale.
Yeah. No, that's fucking ridiculous and idiotic.
I don't understand, you know, you can do that kind of work and like just say, hey, like, don't tell anybody I did this for you. Yes. Like, I do that all the time.
I don't want people knowing I made a cake for a homo.
The Supreme Court basically ruled inside of the cake shop, but they ruled on the side of the cake shop because they thought, I don't know if it was a city or state prosecutor that originally brought the case, that it was seen as overzealous prosecution, that they probably should have sold them the cake, legally speaking.
But they don't have to.
No. Well, it's a business of accommodation has to accommodate everyone. That's why you can't have a separate counter for blacks anymore.
Okay. If
you're going to sell coffee, you got to sell it to anybody who walks into your store. So technically, they probably do have to sell that cake to anybody. Their homophobia was not technically was not what was vindicated by the Supreme Court, is overzealous prosecution. Like, they could have been given a warning, slapped with a small fine, but they were made like an example by the prosecutor. So that's what.
And that's a big deal in Colorado, because they're libertarian nut jobs out there. So anytime there's a, that, like, if that was the argument, that's the perfect place to have that argument.
Yes.
But for some reason, they really trust oil and gas companies out there. So,
so I used to date a Methodist girl, and she was perfectly fine in every way. I'll never say anything bad about her on air. But I would go to church with her sometimes. And this was when I was in college, so I was like 18.
She must have had
19.
Some good pussy. If well, you went to, if you
well,
went to
not,
church.
Not bad for a wasp. not bad for a white woman, I should say. Yeah. No, but besides the like passive anti-Semitism that comes out of the pulpit in a lot of churches, which I don't probably even realize. Like, you'd have to be a Jewish person standing there going, did they just say that? Do they realize simply? But what really like I started to notice was that the crucifix, if you're Christian, even vaguely Christian mythology oriented, that's your savior. If you're a Jewish person, that's a tortured Jew. Every church in America has images of a tortured Jew on their walls.
Yeah.
I don't go to churches anymore. that's out.
I worked for a Catholic hospital, and that was something that really like got to me, is turning my head to the right and like there's their tortured Jew.
Yeah.
On the wall.
Even when they have, like, depictions of happy Jesus, he still looks bummed the fuck out.
Yeah. It's like when you go to down the street from where Lincoln was assassinated in that theater, there's, like, a little museum to the history of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get toy Derringers in there. What the fuck?
Wow. Okay. So, arguably, you know, what people would say the greatest president that ever lived.
Yeah.
They're like, here's a fake weapon that killed him.
Man,
capitalism at its best.
Yeah, 100.
I want a fake sniper rifle in Dallas now.
Yeah. Sure.
You think at the Ground Zero they sell fucking
model planes?
Yeah.
Sure.
I remember.
But no mosques. But if you're selling model planes, yes.
Yeah, sure, sure. No problem. That's.
They sell box cutters.
Shoe bombs.
That shoe bomb never went off.
Yes. Call it shoe electronics, faulty electronics, not shoe bomb.
You know, and you can get away with that's capitalism. That's fine. You just sell them a sneaker. Be like, oh no, the bomb doesn't work.
My wife got a gun through security at the airport, but there's obviously a little story to that.
Okay.
She used to work at the Toledo Airport for one of the airlines, Comair. It's a Delta affiliate. I think they shut it down. But anyway, this was post September 11th as well. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. The Comair decided they wanted to test security.
Mm.
So they put my wife in a wheelchair and acted like she was a traveler. And they put us like a toy gun, a ceramic gun, in the workings of the wheelchair and just rolled her through. And they're like, oh, we got to get her to the plane. And they just like rolled her through and security just waved her through. And then,
wow!
Had she been an actual traveler with a gun hidden in her wheelchair, it would be on the airplane now.
I forget what comedian I was. I was just watching a special that I've seen a couple times. It was Mike Birbiglia. He talks about he's like, this is in the 80s too, when security at the airport was just a high five and then a slap on the ass.
Yeah,
it's not like that anymore.
No, this was definitely after TSA was involved.
The security theater nonsense.
Yeah,
I don't like it, and I don't like having to. You know, I'm already showing up to the airport in pajamas.
Yep.
And it's
do you
not
go in topless so you go through faster, like those models that just like wear bikinis or go in nude under their coat?
No, that's like the reason I go into pajamas is so I can go through faster.
Right.
Like I actually started going to court in pajamas because I'm just like tired of all the security theater nonsense. Yep. Like I'm not taking off my belt. I'm not like emptying my pockets. It's just like I'm in my jammies. Yep. Like, here's my wallet, here's my keys, like, I'm good, like, let's do this.
Yes, security theaters.
Stick a finger in my ass.
Is if you make people, like, go through this ritual of performance, it cultivates, some sociologists call the cop in the head. It makes you, like, mindful of your own security, so you police yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're in, like, a big box store and they have those, like, sort of plastic sensors by the entrances.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but approximately half of those are not actually hooked up. They're just like a visually make you think they're security. It's a type of security theater, which means kids steal shit because like half the time you're just going to walk out the door. So why not? That's mm-hmm.
yeah. Yep. Well, you should absolutely steal from Best Buy.
Well, and another thing is like that I like to tell people is like you go to I don't care when people steal from big company. Right. I don't give a shit. Like I do it. I don't. Yep. I don't fucking care.
It's already in the price. So
like if you. Most of the time when they have like the person who checks yep. your receipt, all they're checking for is the items that are not bagged. They don't go through your bags.
Right.
They go for the items that are not in bags. Right. So if you want to steal something, put it in a fucking bag. Even if that person's right there, they're just going to glance at it. Like, how many times have you been like, have you gone to the store, been stopped by that person, and they sit there and read every item? No, they look at your fucking thing, look at your cart, hand it back to you. Have a good day.
One of my favorite
steal your action figures. Who gives a shit?
Little quips was Chumbawamba. So they were essentially anarchists, small band.
They were Crass before they were yeah. Chumbawamba.
And they, when they did their one and only big album, they were being interviewed, and someone said, "Isn't this you selling out? Like you're supposed to be big anarchists. Why are you selling out?" And the guy who runs the band said, "No, our real fans aren't going to buy that. They're going to steal it."
I have an acronym. For Chumbawamba, or no, it's for Crass. It's Chumbawamba recently and still shitty. Because I was never a big fan of the band Crass. I think they're shit. But I know that you probably like them, don't you?
I like the idea of them. I don't know.
the idea of Crass is better than the actual Crass.
Yeah.
Because it's the same problem that I have with a lot of, like, weirdos. Somehow, like, they got faith injected in their nonsense, and it sure. muddied the waters, and it screwed with their morality a little bit.
Oh, I never heard that part of the story. I just knew them as, like, squatters and jam, like, they'd have jam sessions anybody could show up to, and that was, like, almost like a collective rather than a band.
Yeah, I mean, but then they started making songs and stuff, but, like, if you mm-hmm. listen to some of their stuff, it's like, oh, you're, like, really into Jesus, like,
oh, okay.
why?
Mm.
I don't understand this.
That's why you see when there's a band like Crass, that's when you go listen to Reagan Youth, a real fucking band. I love that band.
I mean, I still listen to Crass. But I also listen to Christian hardcore sometimes because I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, you are. If you're listening to that shit, any music that has like religion in it, I can't get behind, man.
Well, if it's like, God is great, God is good, everybody loves him, everybody should. I can do without that. But again, I don't mind if like someone, like I love The Who and Pete Townsend, and he's certainly always posed as being on a spiritual journey. So I don't care if he has like a spiritual element.
Don't make it overtly fucking religious.
But he's not like didactic about it. He's not preaching.
Don't preach.
Yes.
I mean, like it got to a point where like there's I had a friend in Colorado, like, again, like, he's not a weirdo white guy. He's a Puerto Wapaho. But he wanted to bring me to the Christian music festival because he was like, he saw that I was like listening to this shit. And he's like, no, like, you'll really like this. We'll just go drink coffee and mm-hmm. listen to fucking goth rock.
Boring. Yeah, you want to know what there's not at the Christian rock festival? Drugs. So fuck that.
That was the reason I didn't go.
They had myrrh back then, man. Like, that's what they should be passing out. Because yep. I basically think it was like opium, kind of.
Well, sage is like related to marijuana. So you can burn some of that in an incense, get a little buzz going.
I mean, a little buzz.
Well, when I was in high school, I thought sage was marijuana. Like, I didn't know the difference. But
somebody sold
if it was
tea,
green
right?
in a bag, yeah.
See, I got sold oregano one time.
Yeah.
And,
it's been known to happen.
Man, that's you ever coughed up orange? Just is
after sex, but not after smoking.
I don't know. Creationism is just fucking dumb, man.
Ultimately, and it makes people around them dumber.
Yeah,
because either you convince somebody, and that's the Creation Museum. You got to imagine. Since it's been open, they've had over 1 million visitors. And there's probably some skeptics, and there's probably some curious people are just curious, but they have like school trips with like religious schools bring their kids on buses. That's actually their biggest market, is bringing in school kids in these like school trips. And you just think about like they're walking around. I just think about they don't know. They're undecided or they're ignorant. And now this is the explanation they're being given.
Does it cost money to get in there?
It does. It was my biggest thing when I went was like fucking handing them like $22. And it is, by the way, even though it's called a museum, like on their website, it is legally like chartered as a mission statement of Ken Ham's group, Answers in Genesis. So it is actually legally a church, but it has the word museum on their wall. And so I knew I was giving $22 to Answers in Genesis when I went in.
Now, before, isn't there another creation museum that's in Norton?
Well, there are others around the country. So the one in Kentucky is like the biggest.
Yeah, that's, and also that's the big flashy one because it's got Noah's Ark.
Right.
But I think there's another one in Norton that's like got weird animals.
Why does Ohio have two of these fucking things?
Well, so I'm originally from Louisville. I've been to Mammoth Cave several times.
Okay.
I think that's a great, if you're into that kind of shit, I guess, you like Mammoth Caves, go. So I was hanging around in the town that's by Mammoth Caves, and they have a small dinosaur museum. And so I like dinosaurs. And it was interesting about it, and this is an example of creations making people stupider. It was not a creation museum. It was a dinosaur museum, but they had no like plaque information that would contradict creationism. So they had no misinformation. Like there's no sign that said the earth is 6,000 years old, but there was no sign that said the earth is 4.3 billion years old either. It was just plaqued in a way that it could generically apply to either group.
That's smart business.
It is smart business, but it's making us stupider.
Yeah, agreed.
That's, yeah. And we here at The Hate Flow promise that we will not spread misinformation to make you stupider.
No. Well, not to make you stupider, but
we will spread misinformation for
just about
for our enjoyment.
Any other reason. Jerry, where can we find you on the internet?
Facebook and Twitter. It's Jerry C. Jaffe. My name is Clark, and I do that because my father's name is Jerry Jaffe also. Former professional wrestler, Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. So if you're a wrestling fan, look him up. If you're a comedy or religious satire fan, look me up.
If you like all of it, look both of them up.
I'll get two for the price of one. And then I do a podcast called The Comical Heathen, which involves me interviewing comedians about religious satire and some other people as well. And then I also include some kind of like a religious rant or anti-religious rant. I find something in the news, like something a politician or something, and then I springboard off that to explain why that person is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so that web, there's a website for that. So Comical Heathen, if you Google Comical Heathen, you'll find the website for it. So it has the dates of the live show, some information about me and the podcast. And
hell yeah.
So on. Yep.
Yeah, he's had some fun guests. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely get
while you're at it, please tell me that the trivia podcast is still up.
The trivia podcast is Gold Star Classroom. That was my first podcast, and it is still up. I pay to maintain it. I haven't made a new episode for a couple of years, but I have over 50, like 54, 55. And Jeremy was on it at least once or twice.
Yeah.
And it's real trivia, but then it's comedians, actors, and just other interesting people, and we sound kind of riff on it. So it's like an entertaining take. And yeah. That podcast got a lot of hits. I mean, I haven't put up a new episode for over 2 years. I kind of reached the limit for what I could do with the concept without, I don't know, like a budget or some way to push it forward.
Right.
You know how it is. I do it all myself. But I've not put up a new episode in over 2 years. If you go on, it's through Podbean. The level of service I have gives you 2 years worth of statistics. I haven't put up an episode in 2 years. I still have over 20,000 hits in the past 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, with no active, it's a great show. And
right on.
I highly recommend you check it out.
There's a couple episodes with Jeremy. If you want to check it up, just it lists all the guests if you look. So just find one with Jeremy on it or
others. Gold Star Classroom. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates creationism as much as Jerry Jaffe.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care. I'm not making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.